Welcome back to Through the Word, Psalm 147 today. Before we begin, I want to ask, what's the most satisfying ending to a film that you've ever seen, where everyone lives happily ever after at the end? I think of The Wizard of Oz, where Dorothy awakens from her dream, saying to her loved ones who gather around her bed, but it wasn't a dream. It was a place. And you were there. To which Auntie M says, we dream lots of silly things. Psalm 147 dreams of a future for the people of God, where everything has a magical Hallmark ending. Let's read verse 1. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of stars and calls them each by name. How good it is to praise the Lord. Praising God is a pleasant experience. Worship, my friends, is its own reward. We don't worship God so that He does things for us. We worship God because we're so grateful for all that He's already done. This psalm is written after the Jews were brought back from exile in Babylon. That's why it's important that He builds up Jerusalem. He sends Ezra and Nehemiah, and they restore the worship to Jerusalem. He gathered the exiles, and He healed the brokenhearted of all their trauma from being slaves, misused, and abused. He bound up their wounds. And in case you didn't know it, my friend, God also knows how to bind up your wounds and heal your hurts because He knows you intimately. Let's reread verse 4. He determines the number of stars and He calls them by name. When the Jews heard that, their minds wandered back to God making His first promise to them through Abraham. God said, Abraham, I will make your people as numerous as the stars in the universe. Immeasurable to you and me, but known by name to God. Just like He knows you by name. In this vast expanse of space, you are not unknown to God, but rather known. He knows your name, and He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows your hurts and wounds, and He cares. This leads us to verse 5. Great is the Lord, and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble, but casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with grateful praise. Make music to our God on the harp. For His humble followers, who bow before Him in praise, God's always there. To the proud and wicked, He doesn't exist. So they meander through their lives unaware that there's someone to thank at all. They don't bow to the ground. Here, they're cast to the ground. How different from those who sing to the Lord with grateful praise in verse 7. They're grateful for the things that others take for granted, like natural, everyday events in verse 8. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not the strength of the horse, nor His delight in the legs of a warrior. The Lord delights in those who fear Him, who put their hope in His unfailing love. My friend, you may not feel very impressive today. That doesn't matter. God looks at your heart. And because perfect love casts out all fear, that word fear here has been poorly translated over the years. Fear, in this verse, is better translated as revere. The Lord delights in those who revere Him, who put their hope in His unfailing love. That means that God delights in those who love His love. This is why it's pleasant to worship Him. God's reality is better than fantasy. Their dreams come true when God brings them up out of Babylon, and He keeps His promise, His covenant, that if they worshiped Him alone, He'd always protect and provide for them, just like He does in verse 12. Extol the Lord, Jerusalem. Praise your God, Zion. He strengthens the bars of your gates and blesses your people within you. He grants peace to your borders and satisfies you with the finest of wheat. Just like God kept them safe, He keeps you safe as well. We often don't thank God that we slept last night without any deaths in our household or that nobody broke into our houses. But don't take that for granted tonight. Turn it into praise. Ours is always a fragile peace. Yet God, in these verses, is the one who grants it. Verse 14, He grants peace to your borders. That's a gift. But God doesn't just protect, He also provides. He satisfies you with the finest of wheat. At any moment, brutal hail, blistering heat, or a holocaust of locusts can wipe out a crop or bring a famine. No more bread at the supermarket. Remember that phrase from verse 7, grateful praise. I sometimes wonder if we were only allowed to keep what we thanked God for today, if we'd have anything tomorrow. We may think it's all natural processes, left to run on their own, the sun, the clouds, the rain, but that same word that created the world is the same that keeps it running in verse 15. He sends His command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He spreads the snow like wool and scatters the frost like ashes. He hurls down His hail like pebbles. Who can withstand His icy blast? He sends His word and melts them. He stirs up His breezes and the waters flow. This same word, the same word that runs the world, is also the same word that God uses to speak to you and I. We may not understand the language God spoke to the moon, that He whispered to the stars, that He murmured to the snow, the clouds, and the rain. But we know the words of this book, and they're sent to move us just as they move all of creation. So the psalmist praises God for the words of God that we can understand in verse 19. He has revealed His word to Jacob, His laws and decrees to Israel. He has done this for no other nation. They do not know His laws. Praise the Lord. The psalmist stands in awe that he holds God's word in front of him. What a privilege to be reading these verses today. Pagan gods, by the way, did not write scriptures. Someone might write a poem, ascribe something wonderful to the gods, use their creative powers, but to have the words of God revealed to you, well, that was really something. And it is. It's God talking to you, my friend. And like any good conversationalist, God wants to hear your thoughts. He wants this to be a two-way street. He'll speak to you, and He wants you to speak back. So do what verse 20 ends with, and praise the Lord. Don't just talk back to Him either. Sing back to Him in praise and thank Him for all He's done. Have grateful praise and praise the Lord.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.